Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Airbnb has been in some bruising battles this year. The home rental platform lost a fight over a New York state law signed in October, which called for fines up to $7,500 for listing a property to rent for less than 30 days on sites like Airbnb. But the company did reach a compromise with New Orleans earlier this month. In exchange for legalizing short-term rentals, entire homes in New Orleans would be listed for no more than 90 days each year. And the listings, and the only listings, I should say, in the historic French Quarter will be properties that are commercially zoned. So all of that brings us today because, all of that brings us to today because short-term rentals on sites like Airbnb are subject to a Boston City Council hearing this afternoon. Now, there's no specific regulation proposed just yet. City councilors are in an information gathering mode. So a little while ago, we spoke with Will Burns. He's a senior advisor for Airbnb and a registered lobbyist for the company in Massachusetts. And I started by asking whether the company is trying to avoid what happened in New York, where Airbnb was effectively shut out of the market.
What happened in New York was that the fines were increased to create real disincentives for people to list on the Airbnb platform. And so the company's negotiating with the city of New York and with the state of New York on how to address those issues and concerns. I mean, look, I think the bottom line is that we think that home sharing is a net positive. We have, you know, folks who are using home sharing to stay in neighborhoods and communities where the cost of living has gone up dramatically and where they don't have the resources to stay there. There are a lot of benefits to home sharing, but we understand that, you know, policymakers are concerned about protecting the quality of life and maintaining access to affordable housing. And we want to come up with solutions that are, you know, unique to every situation in the cities, in those cities' concerns.
Let me put it this way. I can see why Airbnb wants to paint itself as the champion of mortgage-burdened homeowners. But, I mean, if that's indeed the case, why not fully stand up and say, we don't think any regulations are good. People should be able to do with their houses and their properties what they deem fit, as long as it's within the laws of their local municipality.
I think that, you know, obviously, you know, I have my own personal preferences around public policy, but, you know, policymakers have to talk to their constituents, and there's some constituents that are worried about homes and residential neighborhoods being used for commercial purposes and want to make sure there's some guardrails in place to protect the residential character of neighborhoods and to make sure that people can be held accountable for not being good neighbors. And so we want to be a part of that conversation as well.
Well, exactly. So let me ask you a bit more about that. It should be up to a local municipality to pass the laws that it deems right for its own residents. But, I mean, should Airbnb have any role in that? Why don't you just more clearly say, whatever you guys decide to do, we will comply with as, you know, the cost of doing business in your municipality?
Well, I think what we want to do is make sure that there are reasonable regulations. And so there are, quite honestly, sometimes regulations that are not reasonable because it's not a regulation that's designed to put guardrails in effect, but regulations that are designed to basically prohibit home sharing without doing so. I mean, we're very clear. We want reasonable regulations and we want to pay taxes. That's why we lobbied the Massachusetts legislature this year to pay the same hotel taxes, to collect and remit those taxes on behalf of our hosts. And, you know, we want to be good corporate citizens. Our hosts want to be legal and they want to make sure that there's a structure in place by which they can share their homes without worrying about fines or fees or penalties. Mm-hmm. And so that's part of the rationale as well.
Yeah. And when you say you want to pay taxes, it would be Airbnb renters that would be paying the taxes, the hotel taxes.
It would be Airbnb guests, because that's just the way it works with hotels. When you go to a hotel, the taxes at the hotel has to pay are passed on to the guests.
Yeah. I mean, I'm seeing some figures here from Airbnb. The company says that Boston could have received some $4.5 million from renters so far this year if hotel and lodging taxes had been collected.
Yes. We anticipate that the Commonwealth of Massachusetts could have received $15 million in total.
So taxes is one of the things that the company has signaled a willingness to work on with lawmakers. There's a couple other things I'd like to explore with you. For example, Airbnb has said it would be willing to enforce limits that municipalities set on the number of nights that a property could be rented throughout the whole year. I mean, you've done something similar in New Orleans, right? There's now a 90-day annual cap for renting out entire homes.
There is a 90-day cap in New Orleans. There's a 180-day cap in Philadelphia. You know, there's a lot of nuance in each city. You know, in New Orleans, for example, new hotel construction has been banned in the French Quarter since the 1960s. So there was some concern about parity between home sharing in the French Quarter and hotels. And so that's why you see some, you know, some differences perhaps in the New Orleans approach versus Chicago, which has no caps at all.
Mm-hmm. I'm seeing some numbers here from Airbnb. It's the fact sheet that you guys have sent out for September of 2016, saying that in Boston, a typical host, a homeowner, hosted 46 nights in the city, and the annual earnings for that typical host was $6,400. So those are numbers for Airbnb for Boston specifically. But Will, before we wrap up here, I keep coming back to this notion that fundamentally any ordinance that a municipality enacts, doesn't it kind of serve as yet a barrier to entry or making it a bit harder for homeowners to list on Airbnb? And isn't there a fundamental problem with that?
It depends on how the ordinance is put together. So, you know, generally speaking, we think that if someone has one listing on the platform, the registration requirement should be triggered by the number of nights that they've hosted. So, for example, that's what happens in Philadelphia. If you host for 90 days or more in Philadelphia, you have to register with the city. A lot of people go up on our platform, try it a couple of times to see whether or not they really like it. But once you sort of engage in regular activity, then I think it makes sense for a registration to occur.
I see. At any point in time, do you just want to throw up your hands and say, come on, guys, this isn't necessarily fair, because you don't make these same expectations of hotels? You know, no one's saying to the Marriott or the Hilton company that you can only rent to folks for a maximum of 90 days or more than 30 days.
I think the difference is that, you know, hotels have different zoning requirements. There's a different level of, you know, inspections and licensure and the rest, versus, you know, someone doing home sharing. And so what's happened is that home sharing grew faster than a regulatory scheme around it. And so you end up creating regulations to fit the particular circumstances.
Mr. Burns, thank you so very much.
Thank you for having me.
Will Burns is a senior advisor and registered state lobbyist for Airbnb. He was in town to attend a Boston City Council meeting where they heard about sites like Airbnb. We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.